God's word today. We will turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 to 13. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen. God is the merciful God. God is the merciful God. God is the merciful God. He shows mercy to whom he desires to give mercy. And when he shows mercy, he will not leave them or forsake them. So to those he wishes, he shows his mercy. And to those he refuses, he will not show that this mercy. So to those he shows his mercy, they will be given mercy, and God will not leave them or forsake them. And those who keep his commands, he shows his mercy. As written in 2 Samuel 22:26, it says, "With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful." So those who keep his commands, he will show his mercy. And faith is to know that you are clothed in the mercy of God, to acknowledge that God has mercy on you. That is what faith is. And faith life is to ask for and seek God's mercy as we continue to struggle in sin and in whatever circumstance we are in. We ask God to have mercy on us. So we cry out to the Lord for mercy. This is our faith life. So saying that God is merciful, God is compassionate, God is good, they mean the same thing. So it's mercy in English, and there's other words that describes this in Korean as well. So in the world, when you see the unfortunate and poor asking for mercy, like the homeless, you're able to see them that way. But in the Bible, it's a blessing, actually, to be seen in the sight of God as one who needs mercy. God, he created the spiritual beings, the angels, and the living being, Adam. So there are two. So angels were created to be ministering spirits. So if they sin even once, then they will never be forgiven, as written in 2 Peter 2:4. "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment." So just with this one-time sin, now what awaits them is eternal condemnation. And there was another spiritual being created, and that is the living being Adam. The living being, the soul with flesh. So when compared to angels, because we have the flesh, it seems burdensome and it brings hardships as we're limited in this flesh. But because we have the flesh, even if we sin, we have this chance to be forgiven, as God will show us mercy. And this is the plan of God, the dispensation of God. So God had in plan to redeem mankind, to save the living being, because they have this chance in the flesh. And the reason for this is because man has this flesh and body that angels do not. And this is a weakness in God's eyes. Therefore, God shows us his pity and mercy. So he created us as objects of his mercy, to be receivers of his mercy. So why did God create Adam to be a living being and command him to not eat the fruits from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or else he would surely die. This was the plan so that God would one day save mankind to live with him forever. And this had already been determined before creation in eternity. And so with this plan, he breathed into man his breath of life, and the man became a living being, and they were created as objects of God's mercy. So when the angel sinned, he was not given another chance. But when Adam and Eve sinned, though they were banished from the garden, they were clothed with garments of animal skin, meaning that one day they would be shown God's mercy and be saved. And in Hebrews chapter 5, 2, it says, "He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray." So he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. So if we don't have this body, everything would have been better. If we didn't have this body, we wouldn't have to earn a living or go to work daily and do things to keep this flesh healthy and alive. And if we didn't have this flesh, then we won't have family members, and we wouldn't have to worry about their well-being and their future. But because of this flesh, God knows that we are weak, and therefore shows us his mercy, and we are made objects of receiving such mercy. In Psalm chapter 77:10, and it says, "This is my infirmity." So the reason that God shows his mercy continuously and does not leave or forsake is because we have this infirmity, that is, we have this weakness. So this is good. So let's tap on our flesh right now. Is this a blessing? So back in the days, when it was very difficult coming to the U.S., so I planned to come here to go abroad. And if I didn't have this body, I could just fly over the world and just come here. But back then, I faced the limitations of this body, and now know that this was the condition of God not leaving or forsaking us or showing us his mercy. So while Israel was enslaved in Egypt, God called a man named Moses, and the great Exodus occurred. And they were led to the wilderness. And it's described that it was by the guidance from the one who showed mercy, the one who showed compassion to the Israelites. So from their 430 years of captivity and slavery, they were liberated, and it was because of the mercy of the Lord. And this is described in Isaiah chapter 30, 18. So he called his people in this mercy and liberated them, and fed them with the manna from heaven, and the rock provided springs of water for them. Yet the people rebelled and grumbled and wanted to return back to Egypt. Despite these rebellious people, he continued to show his mercy and only destroy those with this rebellious heart and mind. Because of his mercy and his plan, he did not destroy them all. So what of the law of Moses? So because the law speaks of the righteousness of God, so why did the righteous God give the people of Israel the law? In Isaiah chapter 30, 18, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you, therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. So it's because of his mercy the law was given to the people of Israel. So how many points were there to the law? Was it just the Ten Commandments? So there are two overarching categories of the law. So there are the commandments. So they were to keep the commandments. And if they did not keep it, then they were put to death. And they were not shown any mercy. But then also within the law are the law of sacrifice. So anybody who did not keep the law were not shown any mercy and were put to death. And any witness who saw one disobeying the commands, they were to report them to be put to death. Even if it were family members, they were to, if they witnessed it, then they had to report and they would be put to death. And this was the law that they had to keep. In Hebrews chapter 10, 28, it says, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So without mercy. So the law, in other words, was the commandment. And if there was any command that was not kept, then they would not be shown mercy. So the commandments do not have any mercy. It was a judgment without mercy. There was no reason to hold any trials, for if there are two or three witnesses, they be shown no mercy, and they execute justice and kill them. So this was a judgment without mercy. Also, there was the temple and sanctuary and the sacrifices that took place there. So sacrifices were conducted so sinners could bring the sacrifices to be put to death instead of them for their sins. So their sins would be transferred onto the animal and died in the sinner's place. So that was the law of sacrifice. It could be a lamb or some other animal, but whatever the Lord commanded, they brought it and confessed their sins and would place their hands on the sacrifice, and it died in place of the sinner. So this is the law. So is the law good or is it bad? No, it's good. And it's not wicked at all, as it's the law that gives this mercy and shows the people this mercy. So before the law, did man have sin? Romans chapter 5 says mankind had sinned from the first Adam. All men are born with the original sin and that they've inherited from Adam. And whether they knew it or not, they have this sin. And where do they go? They were destined to go to hell, the eternal fires of hell. So that is why God wanted to show his mercy, so that sinners would not go to hell and be shown mercy. So despite this blessing of the law to the people of Israel, they continued to refuse to keep the law. So the prophet said, do not tear your garments, but your hearts, and return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, and he will show you his mercy. And if you return, he will forgive abundantly. And this was the prophet's message. So the law and prophets. In two words, the Old Testament is considered the time of the law and prophets. So what is the Old Testament? It's the time of the law and prophets. So I don't really preach that well, but I do teach well the fundamental elements of the Bible. And if you have this attitude to learn, then hallelujah, it's great. Some people are so articulate with their words and are eloquent speakers, but when you listen closely, there's no meaningful content. So the Old Testament is pointed out as these two, the law and prophets. So the law is the commandments and sacrifice. This is how God leads people to his mercy. And this was the intent of the law. However, these stiff-necked people did not understand this. And so if you look at the history of Israel, what you see is the repetitiveness of their history. So I remember what my mother said whenever my brother did something wrong. It be the same thing over and over again, and she'd say she regrets giving birth to him and then bails him out when he gets in trouble, and he'd do the same thing again, and it's just like a whole cycle. It just repeats again and again. So like that, this was the history of Israel. And in Nehemiah chapter 9:27, it says, so you delivered them into the hands of their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. So it was repeated like this, but he never forsook them or destroyed them. For he had in plan to show mankind his mercy. So out of the people of Israel, there were these figures like David, who was a man who received favor in God's sight. But he was also sinful, as they took one of his loyal soldiers' wife, whom he observed bathing, and she was very lovely in his eyes. And wow, so beautiful. Lust took over, and he took her in and did something he was not supposed to, and impregnated her. And after this happened, he knew rumors would hurt his image and that there'd be consequences, so he didn't want to deal with later. So he sent Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to the front lines and ultimately to his death. And so Uriah died, and no one knew what happened. And he took the widow as his wife, and Nathan the prophet rebuked David and said, you did something very wicked, that you had so many wives and yet you steal this man's wife. So he rebuked him, and God started to pour his anger and curse upon him. But David, in his remorse, saw that he was just so ashamed of himself, and wrote about this repenting heart, about this regret, in all the Psalms. He wrote about his wretchedness and how he was sinful before he was even born, that he is the worst of all sinners, and he's just trash. And he was weeping and wailing. And what he did not forget is that the Lord God is merciful, and his mercy is great, and it is better to be rebuked by the Lord than anyone else. And he wrote all this in the Psalms. And so he shed many tears in repentance and was remorseful. And he's pleading to the Lord with a broken and contrite heart. And he said, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. So he cried so much that it said he even had sores from the many nights of laying in tears. And that's when God showed his mercy, and David continued his reign as the king of Israel. And but yet, the history of Israel continues to show the corruption of men and God's forgiveness. So there was this, it was very cyclic. And then there was a prophecy in Hosea chapter 2, 19 to 20 that says, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. So through the prophets, the Lord declared and people would repent. But it's written here that he's betrothed to them. That the Lord will come and betroth you to me forever. Meaning that God will display and reveal to them who he is closely. So that they can know him and experience him. So he declared he will betroth them, but they are not righteous. And what they need is grace, mercy, and compassion. And that's why God declared that he will bring his mercy, his compassion, his grace. And he declared he'll reveal himself. And who is he referring to? It is Yeshua, the Word who became flesh, God who became flesh. So people would always commit the same sin over and over again, and they would plead for mercy and forgiveness, but this would repeat. But God said he will come with mercy and reveal himself in the flesh as the Son of God. And when he appeared before the temple, he said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. So what was in the temple? The name of the Lord Jehovah. But not only that, what else? There were the commandments and stone tablets, the law. So if you didn't keep the law, then there was no mercy and you'd be condemned. So there's no mercy. You were judged without mercy. But in the temple of Jerusalem, there's the name of Jehovah, the law, and this constantly reminded the Israelites as so whenever they saw the temple of Jerusalem, they were reminded that whenever they committed sin, there was no tolerance or no mercy. And it was just unacceptable. Whoever and whatever it is, there would be shown no mercy and they would have to pay the price of their sins. Now that temple, which reminded them of this, was to be destroyed. Now he would raise a new temple that is establish a new law by the truth. For Jesus is the truth. He's not saying that there is no more judgment. Otherwise, he is not God. The Son of God is a righteous God. So in the Old Testament, mercy was through the Lord Jehovah. In the New Testament, even a man called Jesus as the Son of God cannot just annul the law. But he came with his body as a redemption sacrifice to complete the law. And so in Zechariah chapter 1 verse 16, therefore this is what the Lord says, I will return to Jerusalem with mercy, and there my house will be rebuilt, and the measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord Almighty. So, therefore, this is what the Lord says, I will return to Jerusalem with mercy, and there my house will be rebuilt, and the measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord Almighty. So, Jesus said to destroy the temple, but it says here that he will return to Jerusalem and his house shall be built in it. So this is similar to when he says to destroy the temple and he will raise it back up again. So this is what this means. We have to make this correlation.
So we have to see how God showed his mercy through the thousands and thousands of years, giving the law to the people so they can come to him. So what was this for? So he said in Zechariah, he is going to return, that I will return and with mercy and will rebuild this house, and that it is God here before us. So in the beginning was the Word. So then God has been here since eternity. So in the beginning was the Word. God is merciful. Since when? Since before eternity. Before eternity, he is a merciful God. So can you change his mind and turn on and off his mercy? No, since before time, he is the merciful God. He is the compassionate God. And the point is, he displays his mercy to the ones he chooses. So he is not lacking in mercy, but it's only those who deserve the mercy and welcomes and wants this mercy are those who receive it. So in the beginning was the Word, and so is God of mercy, the merciful God, and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. The merciful God became flesh. So when you look at Jesus, who are you looking at? You are looking at the merciful God. So we read in the opening passage in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, and there were tax collectors and sinners who came and ate with him and his disciples. So the Pharisees were there and asked his disciples, why their teacher dined with sinners and tax collectors? So Jesus replied, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So the Old Testament is teaching us that God wants mercy, that he desires mercy. God's demand that men perform sacrifices was to be able to display his mercy so that they could experience his mercy. But yet, are you only interested in the commands and decrees? No, it's the mercy that God desires that he is interested in. So he wants to give mercy to those who deserve it, who have such hearts. And so it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So Jesus is saying he is here to show his mercy. So with his mercy, he is here before men as God. And only those who believe that he is the one who gives mercy, and those who believe that they are in need of this mercy, can have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. So that is why in Hebrews chapter 5:2, we read that he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray. In other versions, it says he is compassionate with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. So why is God calling his people to give sacrifice? So let us turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. For every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. So he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and are going astray. So Jesus Christ is the high priest, but when he called people to be high priests is so that they can be merciful as they have their own sins to contend with. So those who are ignorant and are going astray, so I spoke earlier why we are the objects of his mercy, those who are weak. So the weakness and flesh That is, those who are weak and have this flesh are objects of receiving God's mercy. And that is why God appointed fellow men as priests, for these priests can show mercy and gentleness as they understand. So who came as the ultimate high priest? It is Jesus Christ. And he is also subject to weakness. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word who became flesh, God who became flesh, the Son of Man who is flesh. Yes, that's true, but it's God who took on the form of man, and he himself was subject to the weakness of the flesh. And that's why when he started his public ministry, he did so with fasting. He didn't do it because he committed sin. No, in his body, he wanted to experience this weakness of the flesh. And so for 40 days, he fasted. So God became man and came in the flesh and the limited weak body. He came into such condition so that he can also be the one to receive mercy, to be subject to this mercy. And that is why he wanted to take on himself under the same conditions. So when you look at Jesus' public ministry, there are so many verses in the New Testament where he shows pity, where he shows compassion. So 24 times it mentions this, that he showed compassion, mercy or pity to the people that he saw were in need. So there were the sick, whatever the sin, so there were so many who were sick who came to him. So in the Old Testament, anyone who had sin, as a consequence, they were sick and ill. So anyone coming before him asking for mercy, he healed them. And who else did he show mercy to? There were multitudes following him, and he saw them as a herd of sheep who did not have a shepherd. He said flocks have sheep, and he wanted to teach them. And for 3 days, he had this mass preaching session. And after 3 days, there was no food, and they were fed the word of God and they were so filled that they didn't realize they were not eating. And after 3 days, they came back to reality, and there was nothing to feed them with in the desert. The disciples thought maybe they could go to town to buy food, but no, Jesus said, bring what you have. And this young boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he blessed it and was able to feed 5,000. They all ate, and there were 12 basketfuls left. On another occasion, 4,000 ate, and 7 basketfuls were left over. So while people misunderstood that if they believe in Jesus, they'll be blessed in the name of Jesus, but that's not what this is about. What Jesus said is, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. So do you think Jesus ate while they were starving for those 3 days? No. He also was hungry. He knew how exhausted and starved they were. And that's why the miraculous signs and wonders were displayed, and they were all fed to satisfaction. So Jesus Christ coming with mercy, he is the merciful God who came to this world as man into the conditions of the flesh and knew exactly the weakness of this body. Hallelujah. Despite these miraculous signs and wonders, they wanted to place him as a king of their nation. But Jesus turned his ears away from them, and he was so according to God's will, he was sold, he was betrayed and handed over to death, and was crucified. And when he died, he said, "It is finished." And what did he finish? Who is God? God is the God of mercy, and he is righteous. So if he sees unrighteousness, he will bring justice. And if he sees the pitiful, he will show mercy. So there is the dichotomy here with the attribute of God. These attributes are both of God and in Jesus as well. So when Jesus died on the cross, this dichotomy was fulfilled. One is to display and execute the judgment. The price of sin needs to be paid for, as God is the righteous God, and he set the principle that the sinner needs to pay the price of sin. So the Bible is about the law and prophets, and you can't just forget about the law aspect. If you commit sin, you have to pay for that. So now Jesus died on the cross as a sinner. He did not have any sins of his own. It has nothing to do with God. He knows no sin, but he died as a sinner and paid the price of all men's sin. So whose sins are we talking about? It is my sin. It is the sins of all mankind, and he paid that price for all. So he is showing his mercy, and through this judgment with mercy, he received the punishment, and that is why it is a judgment with mercy. So the law is a merciless judgment. So judgment without mercy. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it is a judgment with mercy. So is it really necessary for me to talk about this? You think it's the same thing over and over again? So we have to understand deeper what the message is about. We can't be blocked here. So now he referred to God as the merciful Father, that he would place his own son to death because of this mercy. So when he died on the cross, some Bible scriptures say that God was so sad he had to turn his head away from Jesus, as it was so sad how he died on the cross. How gruesome he died on the cross. But because of the sins of the world, God is displaying his love to this point, because he is the God of mercy, that he is the Father of mercy, and that's what Jesus proclaims here, as he is so moved by the mercy of God. And in the meanwhile, the devil was condemned, and all mankind's price of sin was paid for, and they were redeemed. And as he died on the cross, the blood that was spilled was so that any soul who receives his blood will now be receiving the mercy of God. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So if you have the blood of Jesus, say amen. And how important is this? If you have received the blood of Jesus, then God has already shown you his mercy. So who is the most unfortunate? The poor? So somebody is sick, or somebody is on death row, and let's say that it maybe is your son. That's very pitiful. So now God shows this mercy, this pity to his children. Amen. So even when we sin, he shows mercy. When we are in hardship, when we are lonely, when we are in weakness, he shows us his mercy. Do I look like I don't have any mercy? Perhaps you say I look like an officer from West Point. And so So I was married at 26 and I had my first child when I was 28. So I wasn't able to have a child for a few years, but the moment I gave birth to my first child, I felt so pitiful for her. Just the sight of her, just the... So everything about my child, I just felt so pitiful. So whenever they just look so weak and pitiful. And also, I remember there was this one dead mouse in front of my yard, and I felt pity for that creature. And after years, I crack up about that incident. But it's with mercy is how we look at things. Now, going back to Jesus, he died and resurrected and ascended to heaven. And because of his mercy and resurrection, what he gave us in mercy is the living hope of resurrection. So what is the purpose of man and what are we doing here? What is the meaning of our life? We did not think about this and we did not know. We have been living in this world not knowing the real purpose and we're headed to hell. But because God saw this and he had pity for us, he gave us a living hope for resurrection. Hallelujah. Now he ascended to heaven and he sends the Holy Spirit to the believers. So there are the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you've received the Holy Spirit, what should you have? You should have this attribute. You should have this heart of being able to give mercy. And those, who is the Christian? A Christian is one who has received God's mercy. I have received the mercy of God. Those who have received this mercy will be comforted by God and are blessed. You receive this mercy of God knowing God has shown his pity on you. So what do you do in return? You show this mercy to others as well. Now you believe in Jesus and have received the mercy of God, then what you should do from this point on is to pray. So what's the subject of your prayers? So there's the format in the Lord's Prayer, but every point, each part of this prayer, how will it be accepted? How will it be received? It's when you plead to the Lord asking for his mercy. So our Father who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, show mercy to my soul. That's the first line of your prayer. Now you know who you truly are, but you have come to know that you are a soul. But you know that you are a soul, but it's still hard because of the flesh. Your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You want to follow the commands of God. You want to obey, and you want to not sin anymore. You want to pray, and you want to do dedication. You want to live according to God's will, but because of this flesh, because it doesn't listen, it's giving you a difficult time. So we ask God to have mercy on us. You pray and you ask for mercy and he will hear you, as he knows the weakness and the vulnerabilities of this body. And that is why he will have mercy on you and forgive you. Amen. The heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. I, the soul, love the Lord and only want to live for the Lord and live the spiritual life, but the flesh is not listening. Show me your mercy, Lord. And those who ask the Lord for his mercy will receive this mercy and come before the throne and cry out to the Lord. And when that happens, you plead to the Lord saying that you will believe. So have mercy on me. In Matthew chapter 18, there was a man in debt who owed 10,000 bags of gold, or 10,000 talents, and he pleaded with the master to ask for mercy, and he showed him this mercy. So you ask for his mercy. So like that, you say you will believe and have faith, and you will try, and you will try to obey. So you ask for his mercy. That's how you ought to pray. And if you don't pray, then there will be a merciless judgment. God will answer those who plead for mercy. You ask for mercy. You ask him, have mercy on me. And I will try harder, and I will pay back, and I will believe better, so have mercy on me. That you will go to church, so have mercy. And you will look for the truth, and though you do not fully understand, now you're trying your best, so please show you his mercy. And God will see that plea and bring to you to the understanding of the truth. And second is praying for and showing pity to those who are sick, who are ill and weak. Even Jesus showed mercy to those who were weak in the flesh and with sickness, for he knows so well. He was pierced and flogged and knows such pain. He will not snuff out a dimming candle or break off branches that are dangling. But even those who went to the hospital and doctors, I still pray for them, for the mercy of God, to show mercy, to spare them, to heal them, and fix them. For you are the merciful God, have mercy on such souls. May the pain be taken away, even if there is sickness or not, but may there be no pain or sickness in our lives. A lot of people are living with cancer, but living without pain. So that's what I pray for, that they don't have any pain. To have mercy on such souls. And third, we are to forgive each other and show each other mercy. In Matthew chapter 18, a man was just forgiven his debt of 10,000 bags of gold. Yet when he saw a fellow servant who owed him 100 silver coins, he wouldn't forgive him. In God's eyes, they are the same. Whether you owe 10,000 talents or 100 silver coins, they're the same. In God's eyes, you are all the same. You are all sinners and indebted, and so you have to show mercy to each other. So let's look at each other and say, we're all the same. We're all the same. We're in the same class. So we have to show each other mercy. And if you do not forgive one another, then you will not be shown mercy. In James chapter 2:13, it says, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So if you don't show mercy, you won't be shown mercy and will be judged. So the only way you will pass through judgment is through mercy. Whatever you have against you and against others, it will be forgiven. And then fourth, you have to feel pity, compassion for those who are in poverty or hardship, and be generous and willing to share. Show them your compassion. And then fifth, even those who doubt and don't believe in the word yet, those who still come to church but don't believe and they doubt, you still show them your mercy. Be merciful to those who doubt. And because they're trying and are here, so show your mercy and be merciful. So no matter what it takes, save them from the fires of hell. When we look at anybody, whether they're out in the street they are subjects to be shown pity. So in this world, there are successful people who are very well off, and even if they are living in riches and luxury and all that, if that person does not believe in Jesus, then they are subject to this pity and mercy. When Pastor Joe went to Poland for the Ukraine refugees, the mission, the gospel was given to the kids there during this program, and they were given this teaching of being souls. And so they don't speak English, and so the interpreters needed to help with communication. So first they tried to follow along and worship, and these kids are really following well. I guess it's because they're kids, but when I look at the clips, it's just so heartbreaking to see them. They're in early elementary school and are young kids, and but the older kids, you see there's no joy in their faces, they look downcast, and I just felt so heartbroken for what's going on in their lives, what's going on in their country. Will they even have a house or a country to return to? So their whole country is being caught in this war. And also the adult males, they're all at war, and everything was just so heartbreaking. But you know what is more heartbreaking? They say they'll follow Jesus. They're following along the songs and the praise and calling out Jesus. But these souls, will they really know that Jesus is God, or that Jesus showed this mercy and spared them from the fires of hell? Are they going to know and believe Jesus who saved them from hell? So it's just so heartbreaking that we have to leave those souls there. I just wish that we could just bring them all here. These sheep who do not have a shepherd. When Jesus Christ sees them, what he's probably thinking right now is the shepherdless flock of sheep. That's why we have to pray, as we don't know what's in the future, and if there's any opportunity for when we return, will they still be there? Will there be a leader who will feed this flock, a shepherd who will feed them the truth? So it's just breaking my heart, and I ask God to have mercy on these souls. If you have received mercy, then you ought to show mercy to others. If you really have received the mercy of God, then anyone, even if it's your enemy, I bless you in the name of Jesus to show them your mercy. Let us pray.